A senior executive once ordered DHOC to search through garbage cans for a missing deposit slip. Humiliating? Absolutely. But in that moment of pride-swallowing submission, something unexpected happened. A revelation about the nature of power, humility, and what leadership actually means. This wasn't just another corporate indignity. It was the seed of an insight that would eventually reshape how we think about organizing human endeavor. The man kneeling in trash would go on to create Visa, an organization processing over 6,200 transactions per second across 150-plus countries, yet one that defies conventional ownership or governance. No single entity controls it. No traditional hierarchy commands it. It simply works, moving $3.2 trillion annually with a fraction of the staff traditional corporations require. Some childhoods plant questions that never stop growing. For Hawk, it started with the jarring contrast between nature's fluid harmony and the rigid structures of schools and churches. One bitter cold Sunday crystallized everything when a superintendent publicly humiliated him for accidentally dropping a sacrament plate. Walking home in burning silence, fundamental questions began forming. Why is there such a chasm between how institutions profess to function and how they actually do? Why do people behave in institutional names as they never would in their own? Then came the hunting accident at 15, watching parents sob over their only son who had accidentally shot himself. In those 3 hours, one alive, two dead, the relevance of everything shifted, Hawk would later write. Answers became less important while questions multiplied. Through his teenage years, he developed a conviction about true community requiring three elements: non-material values, non-monetary exchange, and proximity. Our modern obsession with money and measurement, he believed, systematically destroys community by replacing the most effective systems of exchanging value with the least effective. These weren't abstract philosophical musings. They were survival skills for navigating a world where institutions increasingly felt like predators, entities that could demean, damage, or destroy with instruments infinitely more destructive than tooth and claw. Hawk's early career revealed organizational dysfunction at its core. He'd triple a company's business through common sense, only to watch headquarters demand conformity regardless of results. At Los Angeles headquarters, cynical colleague Dick Simmons taught him organizational reality through a simple task: installing directional signs. Simmons deliberately complicated it, extracting conflicting opinions and avoiding decisions for weeks. The lesson? Most workers waste 50 to 80% of their time either obeying senseless rules or circumventing them. Hawk discovered the implicit organization often accomplishes what the explicit one cannot. Behind every org chart lurks a shadow system, the actual way work gets done. Through 16 years of corporate life, three questions obsessed him. Why are organizations everywhere failing? Why are individuals increasingly alienated? Why are society and the biosphere in disarray? The answers lay in our mechanistic organizational thinking, born from Newtonian science and industrial age concepts. We'd built institutions like machines when we should have grown them like gardens. With just 10 weeks to launch Bank AmeriCard, Hawk and Bob Cummings commandeered the bank auditorium and created a chaotic operation called The Zoo. Facing an impossible deadline, proofreading and inserting 100,000 cards into mailers in 3 days, they inverted the bank hierarchy. Clerical workers and key punch operators became leaders while senior executives worked under their direction. For 3 nights, vice presidents took orders from secretaries. When executive VP Bob Farragher scattered his cards, supervisor Nancy Smilinich knelt beside him. "Never mind, it could happen to any of us." The moment captured what's possible when we release control. These experiences convinced Hawk that organization is simply agreement, requiring both difference, something to agree about, and commonality, the agreement itself. When card mailing machinery failed, Bob leaned against a broom. They could use the handle as an axle. Without bosses or procedures, people grabbed pieces of the problem and solved them. By morning, the last roll came off the printer, demonstrating what happens when control doesn't strangle possibility. By 1966, banking chaos erupted. Marketing reps stole competitors' equipment. One bank designed cards with holes to destroy rival machines. The primitive clearing system collapsed. Backrooms overflowed with unprocessed drafts. Suspense ledgers ballooned. Criminals exploited every vulnerability. Blank cards vanished. Stolen embossing machines enabled counterfeiting. By 1968, losses reached hundreds of millions. Life magazine depicted banks as Icarus, flying toward the sun on plastic wings, destined to plunge into red ink. Amid this turmoil, Hawk obsessed over float, the compression of time between events. Banking, information, technological, cultural, and space float had vanished with acceleration. Yet institutional float remained unchanged. Organizational structures stayed centuries old despite radical societal transformation. Appointed to a committee addressing operating problems, Hawk initially declined, calling it futile. But he proposed creating a systematic way to examine problems continuously, a cohesive, self-organizing effort. They made him chairman, unknowingly launching him toward creating one of business history's most innovative organizations. After three frustrating days arguing about organizational structures at the Altamira Hotel in Sausalito, Hawk had a breakthrough. What if we patterned an organization on biological concepts? What if it could evolve and organize itself? They developed principles as questions. What if ownership was an irrevocable right of participation? What if power and function were distributive? What if governance prevented domination by any single entity? Their lack of money and power became their greatest advantage. Without resources to dominate, they could only explain and inspire. This approach defied conventional wisdom when hierarchical giants like IBM and General Motors ruled. Yet Hawk realized they weren't in the credit card business. They were in the business of exchanging monetary value. This sparked an exhilarating vision. An organization guaranteeing global electronic transactions would access every exchange of value worldwide. It required something entirely new, a Chordic organization, harmoniously blending chaos and order like living systems in nature. Hawk's 12-city tour promised bankers equal membership with voting tied to transaction volume, but balanced board representation. His pitch? Deliberation and debate will be open to all and controlled by none. The result? 100% participation in creating National Bank AmeriCard Incorporated, later Visa, a non-stock, for-profit membership corporation where banks were simultaneously owners, members, customers, subjects, and superiors. The system thrived through peripheral innovation. Mistakes died quickly, successes spread rapidly. With just 500 staff globally, Visa processed more electronic transactions weekly than the Federal Reserve handled yearly. Everyone recognizes a Visa card, yet no one can explain its ownership structure. Given the right circumstances, ordinary people consistently do extraordinary things. By conventional metrics, growth, profit, market share, Visa has been phenomenal. Yet Hawk harbors a sense of failure. We didn't get Visa half right. In 1984, Hawk left his CEO position for 200 acres of remote land. During a decade of seclusion, his ideas crystallized. We're witnessing the death of a 400-year-old age while another struggles to be born. Ahead lies either regeneration of individuality, liberty, and ethics, or massive institutional failure. Visa is just one example. The internet, air traffic control, even Alcoholics Anonymous demonstrate chaotic organization. The healthy family represents it at its smallest scale, exchanging value without keeping records. What differentiates beneficial organizations from harmful ones is values, the purpose and principles from which they derive their being. We've spent centuries building organizations like machines, rigid, controlled, predictable. Nature offers a different model. Adaptive, resilient, self-organizing. The institutions we need won't be commanded into existence. They'll be grown from shared purpose and principles, from agreement rather than authority. The revolution Hawk started remains unfinished. Our future depends not on perfecting control, but on learning to let go.